Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says, "because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today and all this week and next week about appreciation for men. These programs will be partly directed toward women so that we will learn to appreciate the men who are in our lives. And just maybe a few little hints for you men. The writer of Proverbs was a man who calls himself the preacher. He had a great deal of old-fashioned common sense. I understand that Dr. Billy Graham reads a chapter in Proverbs every day. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, so you can get through it in a month, and presumably Dr. Graham reads Proverbs 12 times every year. As my second husband, Addison Leach, said, he was an interesting man with a terrific sense of humor. He was a philosopher and a theologian, and he died of cancer. But he used to say a fellow could learn a lot from a book like this, slapping his Bible when he said it. And it's certainly the truth. We can learn a lot from a book like that. And the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. The preacher's views on women are shared, I'm sure, by most men. I'm speaking now of the preacher who wrote Proverbs. And he had some very interesting views on women. And I would like you to know that they're shared by me as well, and I'm sure by many other women. For example, in Proverbs 9:13, it says, "The woman folly," or "the lady stupidity," in another translation, "is loud." Do you like loud women? When I was growing up, women, girls, were taught to speak in a low voice, not to be shrill or loud, especially in public places. I find it very disturbing on airplanes these days how so many people are so loud. Of course, I don't expect men to keep their voices as low as women ought to, but nowadays we're often greatly bothered as we travel on planes, the way people just talk so loudly that you can hear them all over the cabin. My heart sinks when I find myself in a seat in front of two women who are just nattering away loudly. The preacher also said something about women in public places. "Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife." Many would say amen to that. Verse 19 in that same chapter, Proverbs 21, "Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife." God has been speaking to me lately about the fact that I so often take issue with what my husband says. I am a debater and an arguer from way back. I need to learn to accept what he says without instantly raising questions, objections, and arguments. When I see women chewing bubble gum, blowing great pink bubbles into the air, I think, has no one shown them the example of femininity? Has it not occurred to them what it looks like? When I went through the X-ray screening place at the airport recently, the woman who was in charge was standing there blowing bubbles with bubble gum. I thought to myself, I wonder how serious she is about her job. And then when it comes to dress, well, we could go on for a long time about modesty and dress, but this is not the series in which I wanted to talk about those things. But there's something lacking in the training of girls and women today. And I would like to encourage you fathers, especially, to teach your girls what a man likes to see in a woman. You mothers, of course, are the ones who are to set the example of womanliness and femininity. But fathers, please don't forget your responsibility. You have a special place in your daughter's heart. She has a very special interest in knowing what you think and what you want of her. I can remember the few times when my father actually complimented me on my looks or the way I was dressed. Very few times, but they were treasured in my memory. I wanted to please my father. In Proverbs 19, verses 13 and 14, a foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. You men who are listening who have a prudent wife, thank God for such a gift. Women ought to be wise in seeking God's will for how they should act and how they should treat their husbands. A wife of noble character, says the preacher, is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. Most of my programs, as you men realize, are directed toward women, since it's unusual for men to be willing to listen to a woman, especially one who might be likely to admonish them once in a while. And I understand that. I don't blame you one bit. I am amazed that men listen to me, and I do want to thank you. I thank you so much for you who have written me, and I have had many wonderfully encouraging letters from men. Here's one from an old codger. He actually calls himself that. He says, I just want you to know that I am an old codger of 91. I receive your program on WRVL with much joy most every morning this past year, particularly the most recent one on What Makes a Man. How I wish I had heard a similar message many, many years ago. What a better husband I would have been and father to my two daughters. No, I was not a cruel man, and from this world's standard, a good man. But I realize I was a selfish, self-centered man, and far from God's plan for all believers. You can be sure I bitterly regret my shortcomings and ask forgiveness from our Savior for true repentance. I remember hearing you on radio many years ago, soon after your husband Jim Elliott's tragic death, and how my heart ached for you in so great a loss. May God richly bless you. Thank you, Mr. Sanderson. That was such an encouragement to me. I'm glad to hear from an old codger. Another one who called himself a strange fellow, especially cranky and uncouth. Had you heard that Nate Saint's plane was discovered in the spring of 1994 by the Alka Indians? The jungle rivers changed course so drastically that the plane, which had been sitting on the beach where the five men in Ecuador were killed in 1956, had long since sunk into the sand and been covered up. But then, with the continuing changing course of the river, once again it was revealed. One of my listeners wrote and asked me if this was true, so I'm telling you it is true that the plane was discovered. It has been resurrected. Only parts of it, not all of it, was there. But this listener said, do you believe that this is true? It gives me goosebumps. Well, yes, I know it's true because I got it straight from the dragon's mouth. My husband and I were in Ecuador just a few weeks after the discovery of the plane, and the Alcas themselves told me about its discovery. I do hope it's clear that I'm not a man basher. Very much the opposite. God has given me three husbands. Ad and Lars have told me, my second husband, Ad, told me that men were scared to death of women, and Lars confirms that. Well, some of you are and some of you aren't. But we do get letters from men who are afraid to take the initiative, afraid to date, and now very much afraid of being called macho. The feminist movement has indeed confused both men and women. And in its extreme, some feminists are saying all men are rapists. Well, we know that that's nonsense. God help us all. I don't believe that 0.1% of men are rapists. Some are, of course, and some of you women listening have, in very tragic ways, known the truth of that. We have a letter from a man who speaks of the fear of taking responsibility. I hope that the men listening will be encouraged to believe that God will help you. God will lead you and guide you if you surrender yourself to Him. If you put yourself in the place of receiving communication from God, which means daily Bible reading and prayer, don't be ashamed to get down on your knees and pray and ask God to help you.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.